Morning, everybody. So welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the ninth Sunday after Trinity. So before we start our worship, Emma has something to say to you all.
Good morning, everyone. So just to let you know, you'll have seen hopefully in your news sheets that there's a new card machine. This is the said card machine. It works off a phone signal, not your phone signal, but the phone network signal, so it doesn't need Wi-Fi or anything like that. So if anyone wants to start paying by card instead of cash or your existing online donations, then you can use this instead. For the normal services, it will just stay at the back of church as you come in, so it will just be there and you can use it as you come and go. And you literally, if it's gone to sleep, I've got the glasses on, you press this little button on the side and it will wake up. And you just put in the amount. You don't need to worry about a decimal point. So if you want to put in £5, you would put 500. It will show the amount on the screen. You press charge, and off you go. Tap your card. If you need to put your card in, there's a lock at the top. Okay. So new machine, new technology. We're going to try. Okay.
What Emma forgot to say was that when you're using this machine, most of the noughts come before the decimal point and not after it. Is that all right? Okay. Let's start our worship. We'll sing our first hymn, which is number 557, Thou Whose Almighty Word. So we meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We sit on kneel as we say the Collect for Purity. We say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." The second is this: Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate faults. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. And so, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And the collect prayer for today. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church, open our hearts to the riches of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of Spirit in love and joy and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'd like to sit, Sylvia will read to us from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning to read at verse 23. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away, who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets say, who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream. But let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading is taken from Hebrews, beginning to read at chapter 11, verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord.
We'll sing our second hymn, which is hymn number 1, Abba Father, and we'll sing this twice.
Thank you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. This is the 12th chapter of Luke's gospel, and we begin at verse 49. Jesus was teaching his disciples and the crowd which had followed them when he said this. I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord. So, Lord, would you prepare our hearts not to receive my thoughts, but to hear your voice? Amen.
Amen.
Please do sit down. So, when I was at theological college, I had completed a preaching module, the most feared module of the entire 3 years. And I wasn't particularly looking forward to getting back the marked sermon, which was the final task of that particular week. I was right to be nervous. The sermon came back duly annotated by the lecturer with the words, "This is a really weak point. You're going to have to speak extra loudly at this point." And that made me think. When you think about it, it's a technique employed by politicians. And also, I think, by the writer to the Hebrews in the passage that we just heard this morning. The writer begins at a moderate pace with encouraging examples of faith, and then gradually ratchets up the excitement and ultimately no small amount of horror, as the listener is encouraged to run the race in spite of a list of examples outlining where it all seemed to go so horribly wrong. The background here seems to be that of a fledgling Christian community caught between a rock and a hard place. Their loyalty is questioned by members of the Jewish synagogues where they originated, and they are dismissed by the contemporary culture that surrounded them. It seems that these early followers of Jesus were in need of some steel to stiffen their resolve. So how did our writer to the Hebrews set all this out? Well, as we heard, he started out with a list of victories. There was Moses leading the people through the Red Sea, Joshua and his troops bringing down the walls of Jericho, not to mention Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel. The list goes on. There were casualties throughout as well, but for the most part, these were all baddies. Then, as the passage moved on, the outlook for believers gets somewhat bleaker. Suddenly, those believers begin to look like complete losers. Out of nowhere, there is now talk of torture and horrible death. of losing homes and possessions, and having to wander in the desert, living like animals. What started as a surging, energizing list of victorious heroes for those Hebrews to model themselves on, now begins to take on a completely different and disturbing feel. You can imagine a narrative back then that might have gone just a little bit like this. "Hang on," you can hear the reader say, "this isn't what I joined up for. You never said that faith would lead to all this trouble." "But I thought you would have taken that for granted," the author might reply, possibly somewhat bewildered. "You do know what happened to our founder, Jesus, don't you? Surely you can't possibly have missed that he died an excruciatingly horrible death." "So what are we all doing here then?" the reader demands. "You're doing just what all our ancestors and our Lord himself did," the writer replies. "You are living by faith. And that means that your story isn't just for yourself. It's partly for other people as well." So this isn't just about the Hebrews back then. It's about us. It's about you and it's about me. And it's about us today. This is a story of faith with a long-term perspective. And reading this passage today reminds us that having heard all about those heroes from times past, it is now our turn. We are part of that bigger story. The good news, though, is that we're not part of that story on our own. We're part of the story not just with each other, but also with all those who have gone before us. This whole story of faith that Hebrews has been telling both last week and today takes it for granted that, as it says in verse 40 from today, it is something better for us to be together, to be part of a whole. Going right back to Moses and then up to today, the impact is lessened if we only consider one small part of the story. We may only have a bit part compared to those heroes from before, but we are still urged to play our part. And as it says at the end of today's passage, "since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." So this faith thing isn't something we can step in and out of. It wouldn't be faith if that were so. We can't just discard it when the going gets tough or ugly. And this is where our gospel reading from today from Luke comes in. This gives us a fierce reminder that this great story of God's dealings with his world is a story that many people hate and would like to rip apart so that they can put something else in its place. We know only too well that Christian communities cannot always be harmonious, either in their internal relationships or in their relationships with the rest of the world. So for us to choose to join hands with Hebrews' great cloud of witnesses is to choose not to be part of any other story that the world might put forward and that can sometimes cause upset or division. How might we sum all this up? So as I see it, the writer to the Hebrews is encouraging us to understand that we are part of a greater plan than we might presently imagine. The story of faith began long before us, and it will continue long after we have left the scene. Our calling is to be faithful and to look after the flickering flame of faith so that generations yet unborn may give thanks for our commitment in a challenging time. It would be easy for us to be preoccupied with our own problems. But as Christians, we are called to follow a servant, not a winner. The one who led, not by dominating, but by serving. The one who led not by triumphing, but by being sacrificed. We have to be open with each other, kind to one another and to ourselves. We have no other option than to face into the storm, holding the hand of our neighbour and looking only to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. So may it be also with us for his sake. Amen. As we sit, Catherine will lead us in our intercessions.
Lord, open our eyes to your presence, open our ears to your message, and open our hearts to your love. Open our minds to your wisdom that we may hear and receive your word. Lord, you created us in love, and you gave your Son that we should not perish but have everlasting life. As you give us life and love, as you give us yourself, help us to give our lives, our love, and ourselves to you through Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, at this time of year, when the lazy summer days begin to shorten, we give thanks for the beauty of nature all around us. We're blessed to live in such beautiful surroundings, and we pray for those who are not so fortunate. We pray for those who are worried about increasing energy bills and rising prices, and whether they'll be able to make ends meet. Be with them, Lord, and surround them with your love and compassion, and help them ease their worries. They are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for the summer holidays that we have enjoyed, spending time with our families, friends and loved ones, and making special memories. We look forward to the coming months when we can spend more time with those that are precious to us. We are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy. As we look at the way of the world, Lord, help us ease our worries for the uncertain economic future, and give us courage to have confidence in the decisions made by those in authority. We pray that your teaching about loving our enemies will help divided communities find common ground and heal divisions. We are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for our community, and we pray that in our community we may continue to share and to help each other, and we ask that you watch all over all of us. We give thanks for all those who've been a strength and a support to us in our lives, and for all those who've transformed our lives by their goodness. They are in your hands. Lord, in your mercy. Give strength to all who are caring for loved ones, to all who are ill and unwell, and comfort those who have lost loved ones recently. We give thanks and praise for prayers for those on the road to recovery, and we pray for those whose road to recovery is not so easy or straightforward. We pray for all those known to us in our hearts, all those we know who are suffering and in pain, and we bring them to you now, Lord, for you to give them strength and courage. They're in your hands. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give you thanks for our families and all those that we love. Let us savour and enjoy the time we spend with our families and friends, and let us be filled with warmth and joy that you are in our lives. Above all, be with those who are not able to be with us, Lord, and be with us, Lord, wherever we are. We are all in your hands. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Time now to declare before God and each other all those things that we believe and which underpin our faith. So would you stand for the creed? We say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Ghost and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we stand, time now for our peace. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us access to his grace. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And
let us share with one another a sign of that peace. Let's sing our third hymn, which is hymn number 50, Break Thou the Bread of Life.
Thank you.
on page 5, Eucharistic Prayer 1. Just as the sun shines on all who turn their faces to the light, just as the rain showers upon all who stand upon open ground, so God's grace in Christ comes as a blessing to all. Born of the sweat of his suffering love, Christ willingly gave of himself that we might be made free. You who are willing to offer yourselves to God, come to this table in love and faith. Here we find forgiveness, hope, and the promise of eternal life. Because the Lord is here. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great High Priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven. We worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory be yours forever and ever. Amen. We say together the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We are many. We are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Top of page 18, we continue by saying together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So if you'd like to stand, we'll sing our final hymn, which is hymn number 77, Crown Him with Many Crowns. So we go to our homes with this blessing. So may the Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.